Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is Professor Greg Stevens, Kenneth Copeland Bible College. That's still
KCBC.
Kenneth Copeland Bible College. How'd that happen?
God did it.
That's how. Yes, He did. Before the foundation of the world.
Yes, he did.
I just found out about it a few years ago.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Father, we thank You this morning. We open our hearts. We look into Your heart. Help us with this as we move over into Your area and to expand our thinking, our finite thinking, to an infinite God, Creator of all things, of whom there is no beginning and no end. Help us to understand this with our spirits today. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah in the 46th chapter. Excuse me. Now, we will be looking into something that you really have to grasp with your spirit being, because our spirits are eternal.
Yes.
Now, what happened to us, for me, it was the second day of November of 1962, when I stepped across the light line. I stepped from the line of darkness into the spiritual light world. Amen. And had instantaneous results. And as I've shared with the class before, that very moment, I physically felt and had a physical manifestation of a few seconds there that I couldn't close my mouth. And from that moment on, profanity was gone forever. Wow. So there was a tangible result instantaneously. Now, God had already planned that.
Yes.
So, anyway, let's look in the book of Isaiah. And, 46th chapter, 8th verse. Remember this. And show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. Remember that. For I am God, there is none else. I am God, there's none like me. Now listen to what he said. What does he do? Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do my pleasure.
Yeah.
And Greg, excuse me. Let's go back to Genesis 1.
Okay.
There is a statement here that is understandable, but yet it cannot be understood with the natural mind. It has to be spiritually explored. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim, mm-hmm. Plural. He's a triune God.
Bereshit Elohim.
Yes.
In Hebrew.
Yes.
Bara et.
Yeah. The Father,
the Son.
They're
all together.
The Spirit.
That's a plural word. The word for God, yes, right there, Elohim, is plural.
And we are triune beings. Yes, we are spirit, soul, and body. And if you'll check out in the laws of physics, that number three is just every place. Mm-hmm. Neutrons and all of that. Won't get into all that. But here's what we're looking at. In the beginning. Well, where was the beginning? I don't know. No, but he was there. Yes, he was. He has no beginning that we can understand. He has no end. So we want to look to this for the purpose of building our faith to reach into the future plans of God and bring His plan into the now in our lives. So that's where we're going with this. Now, let's go back over there to, in the beginning, God and the Spirit moved.
That's right.
So that's in the beginning, God and His Spirit moved. Now, remember, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do my pleasure. Now let's go over to the second covenant in 2 Timothy 1:9, beginning with the 7th verse. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be you partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
That's right.
Before it even started.
Praise God.
He's working his plans.
That's right.
Praise God.
The three of them came in covenant with one another before we ever were, and before the foundation of the world. And that plan has not deviated one minute of one day.
No.
Not with Adam's transgression, not with any of us. That plan is set.
Yes.
And it will come to pass. He watches over his word
to perform it.
The word became flesh.
He's not a man that he should lie. Has he not spoken? And will he not make it good?
Absolutely. I used to wonder about this when I'd see that in the beginning God, and then I'd see what looked like the Holy Spirit, and I never saw Jesus in there. And I'm thinking, how can all three of them be there? Yet John says he was there. All things were created by him in John chapter 1.
And for him. So let's go to that.
Okay.
And I'll show you something out of that.
John chapter 1?
Yes. And then realize what you said. He created all things by and for him.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this. All three of them were there at the creation. It says so.
Right.
Now, English-speaking people don't get it. But if you just explore it a little bit, since it's plural, in the beginning, God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father, I am completely, totally convinced, since before the foundation of the world, Jesus already was planned the sacrifice and would come into the world.
Oh, absolutely.
This is his place. I'm totally convinced it was Jesus that did the speaking.
Yes. Absolutely.
That the Father gave him the words and he spoke them.
Well, he never changes. I change not. What did he say when he was on the earth? The things that I say are what I hear the Father say. Mm-hmm. So that hadn't changed since before the world began. Whatever the Father told him, I say it this way, the Father is the architect.
Yes.
Of the plan. Jesus is the executor of the plan. In other words, he's the one that speaks it into existence. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer of that plan. And that's a way I can wrap my mind
around it. And in him lies the power.
Yes, sir.
He's the power agent. He's the creating agent.
That's correct.
And the force of that power is faith.
That's correct.
Yeah. So now, And blood was involved in this all along. But we know that the planets, the stars, were created for times and seasons.
For us.
For us.
So that we could keep some track of time. Mm-hmm. He's outside of time. Yes. Yet he's inside of time because of Christ, because of Jesus. He got into our time. when he was outside of our time. And I'll show you that as this week goes along.
Good.
In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and yes, the Word was with God,
there it is,
and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, whenever that beginning was. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended.
Now, right there in those five verses, oh, there is so much revealed in those verses.
Yes, sir.
And particularly when you come down there to that 14th verse, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm. And we beheld his glory.
Yeah.
As the only begotten of the Father. Then you go down to verse 17, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So all truth came through him. Mm-hmm. Thy word is true. And so he is that truth. He is that grace. Now, I can show you something really interesting because, you know, I have to study it out. In the in that original word Elohim, you can see it. They'll put that on the screen. There's the, here it is. This is original Hebrew or current Hebrew, Elohim. And this is Paleo or ancient Hebrew. Ancient Hebrew is pictures. So in that word, Aleph, Lamed, He, Yod, Mem, in Hebrew, 34 times Elohim is used in Genesis chapter 1. 4,000 times in Scripture, Elohim is the word that's used. So that first letter, Aleph, is a little triangle with that line. That's, mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm, an ox. It's the meaning the strong leader, the first, or it would point to God the Father. The second letter, Lamed, is a shepherd's staff. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
It means the one with authority or the one with the voice of authority, Brother Copeland, mm-hmm, the one who speaks authority. So he's the one who speaks the word. He's the one that speaks creation. That would be the Son. He's the great shepherd, shepherd's staff. Hey is a man with his hands raised. Behold, look at this. That's the Holy Spirit. So there they all are. In the name Elohim. Yod is a picture of a hand or an arm. See the hand, see the arm. And Mem is liquid waters. So when you put them all together, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, accomplished a divine deed that we behold by separating the waters. It's all in that name, what was happening in Genesis chapter 1.
Praise God.
You don't see it until you look at the ancient Hebrew letters that Abraham or Moses would have looked at. But in that beginning, all three of them were involved with creation.
Right there.
All three were doing it, and now we behold it, we see it, we look at it, and it may be a mystery to us, but it shouldn't be.
Now, when we were discussing this originally, the Lord dropped this in my heart. We write in this direction.
Left to right.
We write from the past toward the future. His language writes from the future to right, the presence.
That's correct.
Praise God. Even the language denotes the fact that he is our future. And our future is already planned. And there's no sickness nor disease in
That's
it.
Amen.
He's never planned that. That's the devil's plan. But he planned life. He is life everlasting.
And this is why we keep our eyes and our focus on him.
Oh,
and when
this.
We do, we're looking to our future, and our future is him. He is our future.
He is.
We don't know what we shall be, but we know this. When we see him, we'll be like him. The New Testament has a lot, New Covenant has a lot to say about this. And this is what we use our faith for. That we get back to that position. Faith is now, but faith is not limited to now because it's connected to God and his faith. That faith is past, present, and future. That faith can go future and bring present.
Yeah.
The God kind of faith can reach into the future and bring it into the now because that's not difficult for him. So Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. And he forgives a man's sins and heals him at the same time. And they get upset about it. And he said, well, which is easier?
Yes.
To heal him or to forgive him of sins? What he's doing is he's reaching into the future, the time that he would mm-hmm. die for, become a propitiation for our sin. He reached in and brought that to that man then.
Let's go over here to the, in John 16.
Oh, yes.
Now, remember now, class, from 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 is all in one place. Now, of course, it's fine to draw certain verses and passages out of there, but it needs to be studied all together without the numbers in it, because it's all in the meal that changed heaven
yes,
and earth.
Yes.
Because none of them, they were there all night, had to get Judas out of the room, get the devil out of there, so you could get on into the preciousness of all this. And then he began to talk to them of the future, and they didn't realize it. I'm going to send one. Well, they had no idea what... We're crossing a bridge of time here.
That's right.
Now, in this 16th chapter, and look at the 13th verse, howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's talking about a time. And it's a bit confusing to them because, you know, Philip and so asked, well, where are you going? Show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, have you known me all this time and you don't know if you've seen me, you've seen the Father?
That's right.
And so Philip, I'm thinking, is going, huh? Because time is about to change. So come on down through here. And look down here at the 22nd verse. And you now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And in that day, in that day, we are now in that day.
Yes, we are.
In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily. Oh, when there's two verilies, he is about to say something. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. In that day. Mm-hmm. Now, thank you, Jesus.
He repeats the same thing there in 25 and 26. Going on down.
Yes.
He does it again.
In that day. In that day. In that day, you'll do the works that I do.
Right.
Greater works. I'm telling you, they didn't understand any of this.
No.
They didn't understand any of it till the day of Pentecost.
Right. That's when the power promised to them.
That's right.
Came in them. Not on them, but in them. That's our day. That's the day the church was born.
And Jesus asked a question. The Christ, when he comes, who will he be? They said, the Son of David. The Son of David. The Syrophoenician woman. How did she get his attention?
She called out, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes. How did Bartimaeus get his attention?
Same thing.
They had a revelation he was Messiah. But the Syrophoenician woman reached across covenants.
Yes, she did. And so will the centurion.
Yes, he did, Cornelius.
Because he understood the authority that went back to Genesis 1.
That's right.
Where he spoke the word and created everything. I'm a man under authority. I recognize your authority. Your authority comes from God. He'll even say that at the cross. Certainly this was, truly this was the Son of God.
And I didn't understand that. But I didn't realize that this centurion was Cornelius.
I believe so.
Well, there's no question about it because he's a garrison commander. You don't have more centurions. That he was there. He was in command. And if you look at it, where his home was just right there, right close to Pilate.
Caesarea. He's stationed in Caesarea. That's where Pilate's governance was.
Yes.
He would come to Jerusalem twice a year.
Yeah. And that's where the centurion, he was the commandant of that area. It didn't mean he had 100 men. It meant he had at least 100 men under him. Mm-hmm. So all of those around there, all of the Roman soldiers, everybody involved, all of them that were involved in the crucifixion were under his command.
He would have traveled with Pilate. Went down to Judea, he would have traveled with him.
Yes. He's his armed protection.
Absolutely.
He's his guard.
Yes.
And he's commandant of the Roman guard in that area. Now, there's some other things you can put together with that. Those that were out there herding the swine that day, that reason that frightened everybody so is because that certainly wasn't food for any of the Jewish people. It was for the Romans. And those that were out there guarding those were under Cornelius' command.
Yeah.
So now you can see, he says, I tell those people to take care of those pigs, they do it. I tell them to come here and they do it. And I know that sickness is to you what those pigs are to me.
That's correct.
I can command those soldiers out there and you can command this disease.
But he saw something through faith beyond his time.
Yes, he did.
Long after his time. See, Jesus, he would have been in charge. He would have been in charge of making sure that tomb was sealed. He would have been in charge of that whole event that day. And then he goes back and he's the Spirit says that, the angel says, your prayers and your giving have come up before me.
And he's the one that built that synagogue.
That's in Capernaum.
So that was the synagogue in Jesus' hometown?
Yeah.
You see the connections? God planned that before the foundation of the world. He had that man planned. He had his birth planned. He had him born at the exact
place. Might have had to change his orders to get him over to Israel.
Well, absolutely. Well, his orders would come under what Micah said.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Because that, listen, Micah said it'd be Bethlehem.
Yes, he did.
So armies, and for 715 years, Micah's words controlled armies, controlled and caused that census to be taken so that he would be born exactly at this right time on that spot, and we're out of time. And the Lord had this planned before the foundation of the world, and he knew what we'd do here today.
Amen.
And we'll be back in a little bit.
God only says good things over your life. When you think, act, and speak the word for your health, family, and finances, that's what you'll have. But compromising the word of God will inevitably lead to failure. God's Word, Final Authority is a CD teaching by Kenneth Copeland that will help you make the decision to never compromise the Word again. Jesus, the Word in flesh, is your covenant partner. When you understand the covenant rights He bought and paid for you to have, you can take hold of them. He has a good future for you, one of health, mental and emotional wholeness, and financial freedom. Don't compromise and don't quit. Release the power of God's Word as your first and last word in every situation, and watch the Word go to work for you. The Word is where your victory starts. Align your heart and words with God's Word to live in His victory and overcoming faith. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's CD series, God's Word Final Authority. Learn to make God's Word final authority in your life, and how everything you think, say, or do can agree with God's Word to bring about His promises for you. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. Step into your future at Kenneth Copeland Bible College on March 31st through April 2nd. Join us for Campus Days to experience life as a student. Meet your future classmates and instructors, attend classes, tour the campus, and so much more. Come together with the college community for a special family picnic and night of worship. Step into your future March 31st through April 2nd here at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Register for free at kcbiblecollege.org/campusdays.
Now, the Lord had it all planned out that you would be on this broadcast today, and aren't you glad you found that plan? Well, we're glad you did, too. It's good that you were here. And put the word out. Don't miss any of this week. And all of the rest of this week, you need to remember this, that God loves you. This is important. God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Since 1973, KCM has delivered the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine worldwide. We're reaching nearly 400,000 people in 202 countries and territories on 5 continents. All absolutely free. Every magazine contains faith-building articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories from people like you in testimonies of real-life victory. Equip your kids with powerful tools for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. With a variety of viewing formats available, sharing is easier than ever. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Click on the interactive magazine option where you'll find bonus content, videos, and downloads. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today at kcm.org.